Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're joining a search for global social innovators, entrepreneurial individuals and businesses leading the way in finding solutions to some of the world's most pressing problems. A new initiative, UBS Social Innovators, is focused on identifying high-potential social enterprises and helping them to grow and achieve greater impact through an accelerator program, support package including cash grants, expert coaching and ambassadorial advice. The program, launched in concert with global social entrepreneurship pioneers Ashoka, was devised by UBS and Society, the bank's platform covering activities in sustainable investing, philanthropy, social policy and community investment. In today's episode, we'll hear from the people behind the project, from Ashoka's experts too, and from some of the Ashoka fellows who'll be acting as program ambassadors. We start with Caroline Anstey, Global Head of UBS and Society. Caroline explains exactly what UBS Social Innovators is all about.
UBS Social Innovators is a new initiative we're launching to identify social innovators around the world who can then benefit from UBS support. That means people who have come in with ideas of how to attack some of the big global challenges or local challenges around health, education, clean water, sanitation, and need some financial support. UBS is in a position to help mentor, to help perhaps take those ideas to market. And so we want to identify those people and do our best to support them through a year-long package of human and financial support.
Caroline goes on to explain how the partnership with Ashoka works and adds value.
Ashoka is really one of the leading organizations supporting entrepreneurs in the social area around the world. So we're partnering to say, help us identify 12 entrepreneurs in each of our regions, and we're starting with Europe, Asia Pacific, and Switzerland, and then let's identify them through a competitive process, and then let's give them a support package, including boot camps around social innovation, taking issues to scale, and then bring them together with our clients. We are the largest wealth manager in the world, so I think we have that incredible client network, and then the finalists from each region will gather together an annual event in Switzerland to showcase their wares, and we hope to interest not only clients but staff and partners across the spectrum.
Let's hear next from Rob Wilson, director of Ashoka in the UK. He began by explaining what Ashoka is and how it works.
Ashoka's been going for 35 years and we're really, I guess, famed and credited for pioneering the concept of social entrepreneurship. And we find some of the most extraordinary entrepreneurs around the world that are solving social problems. We support them with some money and strategic support and advice to help them scale their social impact. And to date, we've supported over 3,500 of the world's leading social entrepreneurs.
Here's Rob's take on the partnership with UBS and what, potentially, it might deliver.
We're very lucky to be supported by companies like UBS, who provide us with much of the resource and support to go out and find and help these leading social entrepreneurs. I think what's really exciting to us is that companies like UBS are coming to us and asking to get involved in initiatives like this. Their staff and their clients want to know more about this sector and want to help these innovations that are solving society's most pressing challenges. We're surrounded by problems, but there are so many people that have very relevant solutions.
Rob Wilson. Next up, let's tackle an enduring issue that's part of the background narrative around ideas of social innovation and sustainable investing, namely the proposition that doing well means you can't be doing good. Why does challenging that traditional view continue to have such resonance across UBS's businesses? Here's Caroline Anstey again.
We've really entered a new world, and that new world is that you can't do well in terms of long-term investment unless you take into account environmental, social issues. And if you do good and you do well and you combine them together, you can have a win-win. So we've said we want sustainability to be the everyday standard across the firm, and we've launched a number of initiatives from integrating ESG to producing products to really showing our clients, our staff, why sustainability is key. And by sustainability, we really mean long-term value. And staff are responding. And this idea that we can also play a role in helping to build a pipeline of social innovation by working with individuals who have fantastic ideas out there, I think is very important. There's been a lot of support for social entrepreneurs. It's very often in the early stage, offering seed capital or identifying germs of an idea. What we want to do is identify those initiatives that are up and running but really need help in being taken to scale or replicated in other parts of the world.
And what does Rob Wilson make of these struggles to grasp this doing well and doing good narrative?
I think obviously it's something that's still a relatively new concept, and there are many social problems that of course rely on complete philanthropy. But what we're seeing is a rise in the awareness and the ability of entrepreneurs to tackle social problems whilst generating a sustainable income stream, which means that they won't need to rely on philanthropy forever. One example, social entrepreneur who's really helping to be an ambassador for our partnership with UBS is an Italian social entrepreneur called Riccardo Zeza. She started up a project called MOM, which is maternity as a master. She, as a mum, realized that during maternity leave, she was gaining all sorts of skills and experiences that were very relevant for the workplace as an employee. But when trying to go back into work as a mum and gain part-time employment, she really struggled. And so what she's doing is setting up a sustainable business, which is starting to accredit all of the skills and experiences that a mum is gaining during maternity leave. And that accreditation is helping to provide employers with some kind of certainty of the skills that mums are gaining.
Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from some of the Ashoka Fellows, those like Riccardo Zeza, whom Rob just mentioned, who'll be acting as programme ambassadors, learning more about their own enterprises and digging deeper into the challenges that face social innovators. We meet the ambassadors next, those Ashoka Fellows who'll be helping to support and advise the selected social enterprises through the Accelerator programme. First up, let's hear from Riccardo Zeza from MARM, Maternity as a Master, the first training initiative in the world that aims to transform the experience of maternity leave and to reflect the fact that far from a problematic absence, this is an extraordinary opportunity for personal and professional growth. Riccardo shares the origin story of MARM.
I've been a manager in many companies for 15 years, and I experienced myself how difficult it was to fit my diversity into the work field. And this became especially difficult when I became a mother. Although the companies were good companies, but the fact that I was a mother sounded like a problem. And it was not a problem to me. So 4 years ago, I left my last company, and I started resonating with Andrea Vitullo, who's my business partner, about the idea of transforming the perspective on motherhood, because it's a waste of resources to think that every time a woman becomes a mother, that is a problem for the company and for her work life. And in fact, the idea of calling the program Maternity as a Master came from the fact that you are actually absent from work for a while when you become a mother. You have a maternity leave in Italy, which is 5 months, but then you're back with more skills. So you can really look at it from a different perspective and consider it as a master's, because when you do a master's, you go away for a while and you go back to work with more skills. So this was the hypothesis that we had, and we started studying sciences behind this hypothesis. So we started studying neurosciences, biological sciences, sociological sciences, and we really got struck because it took us a year of study, and we really realized that the science is already there. Like the brain of a parent, of a new parent, changes and gets stronger. You get hormones, which makes you quicker and makes you more sensitive. And also under a sociological perspective, having more roles gives you more energy and more balance. So So the study was already there, and what we needed to do was to sell it to companies, and that's why we created Maternity as a Master.
How receptive are companies to this kind of innovative thinking? Well, there are two key needs to focus on, says Ricarda, around soft skills.
The first need is about women. Like, companies are starting to understand that they cannot lose women at this rate, and they're really losing talent every day. And the other thing is that companies are more and more looking for the kind of relational skills and soft skills that they normally pay, like in Italy, they pay €1 billion a year to develop these skills to training. And we could prove to them that this kind of parenting activities develop exactly those soft skills that they're looking for. So I cannot say it's easy to sell these companies because it's very innovative and actually touches a point which is very sensitive. There is a lot of cultural background which makes it difficult. But what we're doing now, we are selling this concept to the most advanced companies. So we are starting with the ones which are already ready for that. And they are buying it. And then the other ones will follow.
There's much talk about the lack of representation of women on boards and in the upper echelons of senior management, and about the lack of good leadership models for women too. Is this a part of the discussion? Well, yes, you have to look at this top-down as well as the bottom-up approach of MOM, explains Ricarda Dezza.
The point that we basically say with MOM is that the reason why women don't reach the top is not just a cultural reason. There is also a matter of not having a good leadership model for women. Women don't recognize themselves in the leadership models that are around, so they end up not being interested in that kind of leadership. And the point with MOM is that we are generating a bottom-up critical mass of women who interpret motherhood as a leadership way. Because parents think of a world that will survive after them. They raise kids that have to be stronger than themselves. And that's a very strong leadership model. So we believe that by empowering these women and men, because we're also going to open very soon the program to fathers, by empowering those people and helping them see that leadership model, we should be able also to get those people in the right place. I know it's ambitious, but there is a thought behind it.
Let's meet another of the program ambassadors. It's off to Thailand next. Sunit Shrestha is director of Change Fusion, a Bangkok-based organisation that supports young social entrepreneurs to deliver creative and sustainable change. How important, in Sunit's view, are these sorts of projects with the likes of UBS and Ashoka?
We are supporting young social entrepreneurs. So these are people with great ideas on how to solve social or environmental problems, but to do so with a business model. So anything from, you know, in Thailand, for example, we have one that are doing sustainable tourism. So they are trying to link a lot of community-based tourism communities across Thailand with the tourists through their platform so that in that way they can help the communities to generate more income and preserve their culture, you know, because Thailand is a really big culture and tourism country, but most of the money actually go to big businesses rather than the community. So this group called Local, like, is trying to solve that. However, you know, it's very difficult for them to get into a higher level of the market because, you know, they are quite new or they're quite young. Although they have proof of concept, they have customers, they have a lot of impact that they are working with, but to get into the global stage, it's not really easy for them. In this way, the UBS social innovation programs are kind of useful for social entrepreneurs such as them to identify partners or to gain credibility and a lot of support and mentorship to grow their business and to grow their impact and find partners in different countries.
Mentoring, investment and networking are all part of Change Fusion's approach. Sunit Shrestha explains a little bit more about how it works.
We work with the social entrepreneurs on their growth plan and identify 2-3 things that they really need to get right or in their business, in their social business, to really grow their impact and generate enough income to cover their costs and also to scale their operations. And usually they would have a lot of gaps, you know, whether it's in business development or maybe on some technical issues or some environmental issues that they might not be an expert on. So that is where we try to identify mentors that are expert or they have similar experience before to come and give them consultations or work with them to find solutions and to help them kind of grow their operation to generate more impact in those areas. And through those kind of planning with the mentors, then, you know, the mentors many times would actually recommend partners, you know, or even business connections to the social entrepreneurs so that they can really solve the gaps and address the gaps and to grow. And through that, also, there are usually some financing gaps as well. So that's where we work in investing or kind of brokering relationship with different social investors in Thailand or in Southeast Asia to help them.
We also asked Sunit a more simple question. How do we actually calculate success in these areas? Is quantifying social impact necessarily a hard task?
First, we need to keep things quite simple, because usually social entrepreneurs are trying to solve specific social problems, you know. So that the case I just mentioned, they're trying to solve a tourism problem in Thailand and how to make tourism more useful for local communities, right? And in that way, then you can kind of define what are parameters that you can kind of calculate or measure for your impact. For example, how many percent the communities are receiving more income through tourist activities, or how much more cultural activities they were able to integrate into the tourism program that they are working on. So that's one example. Other example, for example, there are many social entrepreneurs trying to solve agricultural problems or deforestation problems. So they can kind of calculate their impact by like how many households of the poor farmers that would benefit from their operations, whether their health improves, whether their kids can go to better schools. So yeah, so I think it's mainly about trying to break down the kind of problem that each of these social entrepreneurs are trying to solve and then turn it into a clear indicator of how do they measure themselves against to show that the solutions actually work.
Sunit Shrestha. Before the end of this week's instalment, let's get a closing remark or two from UBS and from Ashoka. How ambitious is this whole programme? What are the limits, more broadly, for Ashoka generally in this space? We asked Rob Wilson whether it's inevitably a bit of a balancing act between establishing a commitment to a grand vision while also retaining a measure of pragmatism.
We're incredibly pragmatic, and we know that this sort of societal change in mindset takes a long time. But what's particularly exciting about working with UBS as one of the largest financial institutions in the world is that they want this. Like I say, their staff and their clients want this. And I think if companies like UBS can come on board, if their clients can better understand that you can solve societal problems in a sustainable way with income-generating models, then I honestly think that the possibilities are limitless. We just need to see a shift where you can do good whilst generating income at the same time in a sustainable way that's considering all aspects of people, profit and planet.
And what about Caroline Anstey's view? How have her previous experiences, for instance as managing director at the World Bank and running a project like this, shaped her view? Is being successfully socially innovative less about the imposition of a strategy from without and more about giving people the freedom and resources to make good decisions?
It became very apparent to me 10 years ago that leaving the future of the world to experts, whether they're in development banks or in academia, is not the way to go. That some of the most exciting ideas are coming from people in society who one might never have identified as experts. And that democratization of ideas or democratization of global solutions is very exciting. So what we want to do is help liberate those ideas, bring them to the fore wherever they come from and support them, because that's the only way we're going to address some of these big ticket items around education, health, inequality, green infrastructure. Those kind of things require ideas from a whole host of disciplines and people, and that's what we want to find.
And that's Caroline Anstey, bringing us to the end of this 94th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.